I'd like to take you back over 30 years ago. I'm going to tell you a story about the influence of a woman in my life, my mother. I was in a band, my brother was as well, and for some reason we needed some stage clothing. And Lancaster County wasn't really known for having stage clothing to do rock and roll concerts. But my brother found a place in Philadelphia called Twofers, where you go buy one, you get the second free. So I thought this was great. So my mother found out about this trip that her sons were going on. She said, can I come, can I come, can I come, can I come? So I said, oh, sure. Two 20-year-old guys and mom shopping in Philly in the cool places. Well, we agreed. It was a cold October day. We drove up to my mother's house to pick her up. She came running out in a flurry. She forgot her jacket, but we didn't realize that until we were miles away from the house. But the car was warm, and she was happy to be with her two sons. We drove the way down to Philly, and we could not find a parking spot near where we wanted to shop, where these stores were. And we drove, and we zigzagged and zigzagged, and we finally found a place. Unfortunately, it was about 12 blocks away. We got out of the car, and we began to walk through these dirty, filthy sidewalks with soda stuff on the sidewalks and bubble gum and spit and cigarette butts and just trash and broken glass. And we zigzagged and zigzagged looking at a map until we finally came to the place where we wanted to do the shopping. Well, my mother was pretty cold by now, and she found this beautiful jacket. And she probably paid more for that jacket than my father made in a week. And she looked great in it. She deserved it. And her shoes weren't the greatest, so she found a shoe store. Of course, now it was mom's shopping day. And instead of carrying her new box of shoes around through the city, she handed over her old shoes, and they threw them away, and she put on her new shoes. So we're walking, and then we decide it's time to eat. So mother found this two-for-one bag lunch, so she bought one for herself and one for my dad. And she didn't even quite finish hers, so she put it all in one big bag to eat later on the way home. Well, we were pretty happy. We got our stuff, and we were walking, looking for our way back through the city, and as we're walking through, we came upon this woman who was sitting on an abandoned store stoop, front step. And she had her hands over her face, and her hair was just matted, black, filthy, hanging over. We couldn't see her face. We just kept walking. And it was just, wow. Well, we walked a couple of blocks, and suddenly my brother and I realized mom wasn't with us anymore. Where is she? We don't know Philadelphia. She doesn't know Philadelphia. Where could she possibly be? We started to backtrack, and there she was. She was with the woman. She stopped. We kept going. And as we got up close, there was my mother with her arm around the woman, talking to her. That's when I noticed a lot more about the woman. She was shivering in the cold. Her dress was very thin. Her toenails were black because she had no shoes on her feet. My mother put her arm around her, was touching her, holding her. And the woman would not lift her face. My mother said, won't you please come with us? We'll take you somewhere safe. At one point, my mother decided it was time to act. The woman was freezing. So my mother took off the brand new coat she bought for herself, and she put it around the shoulders of the woman.
And then my mother took off her shoes and she put them at the feet of the woman. And then she took her lunch that was for her and my father and laid them at the foot of the woman. And then she said a prayer for the woman. My brother and I were speechless. And then we walked away. And my mother walked the 12 zigzag blocks over these sidewalks with spit and soda sludge and cigarette butts and broken glass, barefoot and freezing. The impact my mother had on my life has always been strong. And I've told this story thousands of times over the last 30 years. And the effect has never changed. It wasn't just a little pinprick that changed my life that day. It was a stake and a sledgehammer into my heart. Because my mother's impact in my life was an impact that would last far beyond the grave, where on her headstone it says, they lived Matthew 25:40. My mother and dad, they lived Matthew 25:40, which says, whatsoever you do unto the least of my brethren, so you do unto me. Some years ago, the memory came into my mind of that woman, and I never saw her face. I never knew her name. But I realized who she was. She was Jesus. She was someone that my mother served, the least of the brethren. I want you mothers to know, you may not do something so crazy and so radical as giving up your clothing and your shoes, but you give up your time and your love. And for those who are not mothers, you still give up your time and your love. And I just want to say thank you and happy Mother's Day.
Thanks, Dan, for telling that story and for giving us a glimpse into the legacy of your mother. You know, that's one of those stories that when it's over, you go, how do you follow that up, you know? Someone sent me an email several weeks ago and wrote these words. Seems like churches are typically super sweet to mothers on Mother's Day and really tough on dads on Father's Day. And as I reflected on that, I thought, probably true. And then as I thought about it more, I thought, you know who the really guilty ones are, the pastors. And maybe the one of the reasons that this is true, that we kind of, you know, really are sweet to moms and tough on dads, maybe one of the reasons we're really sweet to moms is that Mother's Day can really be a painful day for some. And maybe it's our way of trying to somehow lighten their load a little bit. You know, maybe you were close to your mother and she passed away, or maybe you had a terrible relationship with your mother, and so Mother's Day is just another bad memory. Maybe you always have wanted to become a mother and haven't been able to, so Mother's Day, just one of those days that adds to your pain. Over the years, I don't know whether you noticed this or not, those of you that have been around Timberline a while, but over the years, I've always given the responsibility of preaching on Mother's Day to others. I don't think anybody in this room's ever heard me preach a Mother's Day sermon. At least I doubt there might be one or two people if you were a part of my life for long enough. But I just always kind of gave that over to someone else. And this year I decided to do things a little differently and bring the message myself. And I just want to get something kind of out front there, just kind of a disclaimer, say it right up front. You know, I realize today as I share this message with you that I'm speaking to a variety of women here. And I just want to acknowledge that, you know, like women who are mothers through biological children and women who are mothers through foster care or adopting. There are some women here today who are kind of on round two. you know, you're becoming mothers to your grandchildren. That happens. And then there are women who have been waiting to have children, and there are young girls, probably young girls here, hoping desperately someday to have children. But even kind of beyond all that, we have, I believe, many women who just have a mother's heart. Maybe don't have children, but you have a mother's heart, and you've felt that mother's heart thing ever since you were just a little girl. So I want to recognize our women today. So women, high school age and older, I want to invite you to stand. We want to recognize you. Let's give them a round of applause, would we? Ladies, would you stand, please? You may be seated, and thank you. And regardless of what category you slip into this morning, as I started sharing those different categories, this message is for all of us, including the men, because all of us here have a mother to be thankful for, even if we don't know that mother or haven't had the privilege of ever meeting her. And for this reason, we're going to celebrate today. So this morning, we are going to go to the book of Psalms, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it, Psalms 139, and we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I've asked my wife, Lisa, to share this with you, and she knows this thing by memory, and she's going to be sharing Psalm 139 up to verse 18. So listen carefully as Lisa says these words.
O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you.
Not every husband gets to do this. That was kind of hesitant there. Not every husband gets to do this, but isn't she beautiful? Would you give her a hand, please? Come on. Yeah, sometimes pastors' wives get put into funny situations, and sometimes maybe not much gratitude and thanks comes their way, but Lisa's been a huge blessing to me over the years. I'd like to ask you this morning for just a moment to go completely silent. Quiet. Quiet. Where is God? Where is God? Close your eyes. Go before the Lord in his throne room and ask him this question, where are you? If you know where he is, or if you heard him tell you where he is, keep your eyes closed, just raise your hand. If you know where he is, if he has told you where he is, just raise your hand. Okay, you can open your eyes. He's right here. He's right here. This morning, he's all around us. I want you to remember this. This is the context of this message that I'm about to share with you this morning. As we look at the words of David, and as we read the scriptures, and as we sing these songs, and as we dedicate these babies, and as we talk about Mother's Day, he's right here with us. He's all around us. In fact, the psalmist says we can't get away from his presence. This morning, let's go to our notes. We're going to talk about this a little bit. How did it all get started? Number one, God created us. God created us. And you might go, yeah, well, of course I knew that. Well, he created us just the way we are. He knew that some of us would be compulsive and others of us sloppy and some of us forgetful and other of us whiny and that some of us would hate talking in front of other people and some people just can't stop talking. He knew all that before he created you. And he created you anyway. You know, if you had a great mom, if you are a great mom, if you had a troublesome relationship with your mother, or if you as a mother have a complicated relationship with one of your kids, he knew long in advance that it would become this way. He knew that, and he created you anyway. Even if you never knew your mother or your mother passed away, you have a creator who took the time to make you just the way you are. For you created my inmost being, is what it says. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Let's say that together, all of us. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Once again, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Here's Blake Naur at 6 weeks. I looked at that, and I went, what's what? I mean, I don't know what you see in that, but I'm thinking, what's what? And so I asked Phoebe. Phoebe's a nurse. And I said, what's this? And she said, I have no idea. She said, ask Ken. He's the doctor. So I asked Ken, and he said, and I quote, I'm not sure what this is showing. I would need more details of how it was taken. Sound like Ken, doesn't it? I would guess it shows a gestational sac with an early fetal development, ? I'm not sure enough to be quoted. So I quoted him anyway. That's what brothers are for, right? So I said that first service, and he was in first service, and he came up and said, you mispronounced that word. You had a G sound instead of a J sound. That's Ken, you know, that's the way it goes. Anyway, but here's what we know. You look at that and you go, what's what? But here's what we all know. Here's what we all know. This is the beginning of something being knit together. This is the beginning. There's a woman in our church named Faith Bernard, and she loves to knit. So here is the beginning of one of her works. What do you think it is? It's the beginning. Do you know what it's going to be? Do any of you know what it's going to be? And maybe, and my response is maybe, and maybe, and maybe. No idea. Who knows? Jesus. Faith does. Why? You got it. You guys are good. Man, we can just go home on that one. That is good. That's good. you look at that and you go, what's that? You look at this and you go, I don't know. But somebody knows. Yeah, somebody knows. Here we go. And I got to be real careful. Because if you mess these things up, you're in a lot of trouble. What do you think this is going to be? A little further along. A bib. That's what Dwayne Harvey said. Are you guys related? What do you think? I don't know. But who knows? Faith knows. Why? She's a creator. She knows exactly what it's going to be. What are these? Socks. We know. We don't even need to guess. We know what these are. See, what I know when I look at that, when I look at that ultrasound there, what we know is that it's the beginning of something being knit together. And what we know is that God knew exactly what was going to evolve. Hit the next slide. And there he is. There's Blake. Soon after he was born. In one sense, the finished product. Not really, but you know what I mean? God knit us together, and he knew from the very beginning what we would become. Because just like faith has a plan, just like faith has a plan, God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He does. Psalm 139, go to your Bibles, verse 1. You know when I sit down and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying. Listen to what this is saying. You are familiar with all my ways before a word is on my tongue. You know it completely, O Lord. He created us. He knew all about us. He knew all about us when we were just like this. He knew all about us. He knew what we're going to say even before we say it. That's number one. He created us. Number one. Number two, let's go to our notes. Number two, how did it all get started? Number two, God made us wonderfully. He made us wonderfully. What a great word. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Isn't that a great word? I'm wonderfully made. Here's Jed Weaver. 20 weeks. There he is. You know, I can look at that and say, I can pick something out. You know, I can pick something out. You know, be able to figure out a little what's going on. But we really still can't see any details. But we know this. We know that this is the beginning of something wonderfully made. That's something we could take to the bank. How do we know this? Well, look at verse 5. It says, you hemmed me in behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Folks, his hand is on us, and we know it's gonna be good. Some of you meet with faith in their crochet group. And you know that she can do it. You've seen it. You know her. And what I want to say to you this morning is this. God's got it. He's got it. We can trust him. And look what eventually came out of this. Isn't he wonderfully made? God made all of us wonderfully. That's number two. Go to your notes. Number three, how did it all get started? God is always present. Remember, I ask you the question, where is God? He's here. And here. And here. He's all around us. This whole thing, how did it all get started? This whole thing with creation started with God, because God is here, now, everywhere. And we call this his omnipresence. I want to give you a microphone illustration here. Every microphone has a pattern of sound pickup. They do. In other words, the pattern for how it picks up sound. Some mics you need to get real close. Some of you know I have one, wear one of these on my ear right here. This is a microphone designed that you have to be very, very close to. Some microphones are designed to pick up an entire choir, and they are called choir microphones. Some mics are designed to pick up sound at a distance. They're called shotgun microphones, and they're real long, and they can pick up a sound way at the back of the room, and they're designed shotgun to go way back and to hit it. Some mics have what is called a unidirectional pattern. It's more like this, and you have to be right in the end to make it work. But some mics are omnidirectional, and it doesn't matter where you talk from, it'll pick it up because it's omnidirectional. And God is like an omnidirectional microphone. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Verse 15 says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Here's Elijah at 37 weeks, and this is something unique, 3D color ultrasound. 37 weeks. Do the math. How far is that right before you get born? Like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks? Whatever. 2 or 3 weeks. It's not far away. And now we can see that detail right there. You see, here's what I want you to know about Elijah. He couldn't get away from the presence of God if he tried. Because God had him when he's in the womb. He was there. He's out of the womb now. God still has him. He had him. God has him when I held him. Elijah can't get away from the presence of God. Psalm 139, verse 7 reads, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And I imagine my kids are all going, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are. We learned this little song. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me. You think, well, you're in the womb. It's dark. And the light becomes night all around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, or the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Folks, God is always present. He's always around us. I have a question for you. I want you to get your notes out, and I want you to write this little question down. I don't ask you to do a lot of writing, but I want you to write this question down because it's a fundamental question. Here's the question. How can we use this truth to our advantage? Omnipresence of God, here, all around. How can we use this truth to our advantage? I want you to think about that. Hey, send me an email this week. How can we use this truth to our advantage? Let's go to our notes. Number four. How did it all get started? Number four, God has a purpose for each one of us. God has a purpose for each one of us. Here's what it says in verse 16. All the days ordained for me, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. What a wonderful concept. God had it all planned out for us. You know, just like faith can look at this and maybe see a sweater or shawl or something, I don't know. Or She can look at this and can see the finished project, whatever it is. In the same way, God had a purpose. He had a plan. He had it worked out. He had a purpose. And I'd like to invite the worship band to come up at this time. And while they're coming up, I want to share with you some words that we're about to sing. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love, you're sovereign over us. Your plans, God's plans, are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. God didn't go, oh, I don't know where I put Marlon. No, I don't know where he ended up. I just forgot him. No. You have not forgotten us. You're with us through the fire and the flood. That's just saying, you know what? Even when it doesn't go well, I want to ask you to raise your hands, but maybe some of you are here today and something just didn't go too well last week. Maybe last night. Something just didn't go too well. You're with us through the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love. You're sovereign, Lord, almighty. You're sovereign over us. And God has a purpose for each one of us here today, and he has plans to prosper us. And maybe you go, boy, not, he hasn't prospered me. Well, maybe not in this life. Maybe it's next life. Because this is just a little bleep, folks. But his plans are for us to prosper. You know, I don't know about you, but my heart is so full this morning. And I just sense the presence of God in just an incredible way with the music, the worship, the scripture, your response. What a wonderful, wonderful time of worship. And I'd like to just invite the prayer team to come up. These folks would just be available to pray with you afterwards, BJ and Elsie. And they would love to, they'll be right up front here afterwards. They'd love to pray with you. And I'd like to invite the rest of you to just bow your heads, if you would, for the benediction. And as you bow your heads, I want to give you a word concerning this benediction. This is a word to you, all of you. This is a word to you from your Creator. I am your God. I am your Creator. I've known your name since time began. I saw your face before light first traveled. I sought your heart. That was my plan. So when you seek, then you will find me. And when you call, I'll be there. For I am your God, your companion, forever yours, forever true, forever yours, forever true. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.